Beginning current daf Masechet Shabbos daf Kof Ches. We begin four lines up from the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from the previous daf. And the Gemara begins. We said in that Mishnah, Chai v'oifachulu, regarding a wild animal or bird that's already in your property. So he said that regarding tzedi, you're going to be potter, because there's no problem of capturing, of trapping them, because they're already trapped, they're already in your control. However, regarding the malach of choyvel, of causing them a bruise, that you're going to be chayv on Shabbos. So therefore, that's what our Gemara is going to discuss, this element that obviously we're considering the animals and the birds that they have or they have hides, because that's the prerequisite to be chayv for chavala. As we said from Rashi, that there's two pshat in chavala, why that's also because of sheichet, because the blood is being drawn out when you create a wound, and therefore it's coming out. The blood that goes into the hide won't go back in. Or because of tzevea, that you're dying the hide, but it has to be that it's a separate area that we view it as zest totally, and that has to have a oyer. So obviously it has oyer, similar to the discussion we had in the previous stuff regarding shratzim. So I'm Rav Huna. Kaisvin tefillin al gabi or shal oiftar. The halacha is you let it write tefillin on the hide, the skin, the outer part of the skin of a kosher bird. Some of you say, "My kamash malon, what is the chiddush that he's telling us? The islay ur, that it's considered hide because for tefillin it has to be written on ur, and therefore, what are you saying that you could write on the hide of a kosher bird? That obviously the birds have a halacha status of ur of hide, and not that it's part of the flesh. But tanina that we learned in our mishnah, hachayv ben chayim, that whoever creates a wound in a bird is going to be chayv for chavola. Obviously, that's because we consider that the bird has hide and that it's distinct from the flesh. So I'm going to buy a tuva kamashma. No, there's a lot that he's teaching us. Dima masnitin, because had we only known this status of the bird from our Mishnah, that yes, it has oyer, but havamino, I still would have thought it's not kosher to write tefillin on. Kiven the isbe nikvi, since there's many holes in the bird's hide, because of the place where the feathers are, there was perforations, those holes, loy, that would make it not kosher to write tefillin on it, because it says in the pasuk uchsavtem, that you should write tefillin and mezuzas. So the drush is uchsavtem is two words, uchsav tam, that it has to be a ksiva tam, has to be a complete writing that it, and without any interruptions. So I would have thought that it's considered interruptions because of all the holes that you're writing on, it wouldn't be a complete parchment. And that is what the chiddush is, kamashmon kedami b'merava, that they were teaching us, like as they say in Eretz Yisrael, kol nekev shadyo yeverisul of any nekev, any hole, but that the ink goes over. If you look under a microscope, everything is going to have somewhat of a hole. So therefore, when you're writing, even if it actually has a hole like the hide of a bird, but since it doesn't interrupt the writing and it just goes smoothly over, therefore it's going to be kosher. That's not considered a hole. And that's why we have to tell you this chiddush, in spite of the fact that our Mishnah already told us that it obviously has a halachic status of a hide. And that's why you chayv v'chaval on Shabbos. However, we still would not have known that it's kosher for tefillin, which has the element of uchsav tam, of uchsiv tam. So the Gemara asks him this meisvei, Reb Zera, there's a pasuk in Vayikra that says bechnafav, with its feathers, and this pasuk is talking about by an oila sa'if, which is a type of a oila that's brought from birds. That there's something called shasiya, that when it's partially torn and that is the feathers are still on it, you sacrifice or you makter it on the mizbeach with the whole entire body of the wings, and you throw it on together with the feathers. On that, the drasha, it says in the Brayse, says lahach shesar, that says that even the skin is going to be koshered, that you don't have to skin or take off the skin, and obviously the feathers that's on the skin, like the halacha is regarding oilas behemah, that the animal, you do have to skin it before you put on the mizbeach, because there the oir, the hide is possible. Here we're telling you that, no, you can leave it with the feathers on, you throw it all onto the mizbeach, and then obviously that if you're leaving the feathers on, then you can leave the skin on, that it's kosher to put on the mizbeach, unlike the behemah. Now, if it's like you're saying, that you're allowed to write tefillin on the hides of a bird because you're considering it ur, so if it's like an ur, then it's like a behemoth that it has hide, so then heichem arbele cross. So then how could the pasuk go ahead and tell you that you're allowed to be makter the oilas ha'oif without skinning it first, but we know that you're not allowed to bring the hide onto the mizbeach, just like we find by behemoth. So how could we go ahead and tell you the pasuk that says you're allowed to bring it with the feathers on, which means you're going to have it with the skin? Obviously, it's not hide, because then the pasuk wouldn't let you put it onto the mizbeach. So Abaya says to him, no. Oihu, to the contrary, it is hide, Brachman the Rabbi, and that's why the Torah included it and said, with the riboy, b'chnafav, with its feathers, to include the skin. Yes, that although it is hide, and by an animal we do not allow it, by a bird we do. Ikadarman, that some say this version of this discussion the other way around. Instead of asking, he says, yes, we also learned like this, he was bringing a proof. That it says b'chnafav, it says in the pasuk, with its feathers, by the oilas oif. L'rabbis is ours, that the drasha is to include also the hide that could be also be put on the mizbeach by the oila saif, by the bird oila. Now he was bringing a proof. He says, "Yamid b'shleima orhu." If you're going to say that it is hide and that's why it's kosher to write tefillin on it, sahayna de itzach kral rabbi. That's why we needed to have a pasuk to include it, because generally we would say that hide cannot be brought on the mizbeach. So therefore we have a pasuk to say that this is an exception that you could. Eliyamid lav orhu amay itzach kral rabbi. But if you're saying that it's not hide, why did I need a pasuk to include it and to say that you could put on the mizbeach? It's the same as its flesh. It's not distinct. It's not ur. And therefore, if it's not ur, why would I think you cannot to need a pasuk to include it that you could bring it on? So Abaya said to him in this version, no, really, I'll tell you that it's not hide, and that's why you can't use it to write tefillin on. Hi, but why do you need to have a pasuk to say that you're allowed to bring it on the mizbeach? But itzuch, so I would have thought to say, kiven the isbe pirtzi, since it's full of holes, mo'is, that it's repulsive. Not because of an element of hide. You know, I'll bring on Mizbeach, I would think, because it's disgusting, it's full of holes, and therefore it's repulsive. Kamash Malon, that's why I have to tell you that it's kosher to bring on Mizbeach, but again, there's no proof to say that it's considered or to be able to write tefillin on it. The reason why you have to be marbit was because of its mius, because of its repulsiveness. Something similar the Gemara brings, Boimene Marbered Ravina Mirav Nachma Yitzchak. He asked the following question. Mao lichtav tefillin al gabi or shel dag tahar. So yes, we know you're allowed to write on the hide of kosher animals, kosher birds. What's the halacha about writing tefillin on the hide of a kosher fish? So Amalei, he said to him, im yavi el yavi yom, if el yom comes and he says, fine, but we can't answer that question. So the Gemara discusses, what type of statement is that? Ma'im yavi el yavi yom, what does it mean if el yom is going to come and say it? In other words, if it's something regarding heta ve'isr, regarding a halachic question, that has nothing to do with El Yonavi. The pasuk already says, Le b'shamayim hi. The Torah is not from heaven. We here on earth, we're the one that decides these halachic questions. Our gedolim, our chachamim, our rabbanim. So therefore, why do I need El Yonavi to tell us this? So, and ilayma de isle or idoles le'er. So, it has nothing to do with halacha. So, what are you saying? That we need El Yonavi to tell us if fish, if their skin is considered hide or not. Do we see it as different? In other words, hardcore facts that El Yonavi could tell us. But Hochazin on the Islayar, but he says, but that can't be what that statement would mean. We see that the fish has a hide. It is distinct from the flesh of the fish. And therefore, why wouldn't you be able to write tefillin on it? Va'ira, moreover, we learned in the Mishnah, Atzomas Hadag Va'irai, regarding the bones of a fish and the hide of the fish, Matzilin Ba'il Hames, that they protect items that are being covered with it in the tent of a mess. And that is why they matzil things that are under it. Because since the hide itself is not mekabel tumah, as the brisa is brought in Teres Kayanim, and the same thing applies for the bones of a fish, because although that kalim, vessels made out of bone, are mekabel tumah, but that's learned out from a pasuk of kol maisiism, from all the things that are made out of goats, which includes things from goats, which are the hooves and the horns, but not fish, which are obviously not made out of something that a goat is. And therefore, whatever is not mekabel tumah itself, is a chatzitze, interrupts in the face of tumah. And this is a Mishnah Maseches Kalim. So we see that hide is matzal boilemes. It's chatzitze, it will interfere with the tumah. And obviously that means, if it's interfering with the tumah, that means it itself is not mekabel tumah. Now, obviously that means that it is or, because if it was not distinct from the flesh itself, the flesh is mekabel tumah, as all basar is. So therefore, if we're saying that the hide of the fish is not makabel tumah, is chaitzit, so therefore it's not makabel tumah, now why isn't it makabel tumah? Obviously because it's oyer and not basar. So therefore, what is the question? L'chayr, we see that it has hide, and we have a mission that's saying that it has hide, so therefore, of course, you should be able to write tefillin on it. And that the Gemara says, so what do you mean if Eliyahu Navi comes? Eliyam yov Eliyahu v'yoymer ipiskezu amaminei iloi piskezu amaminei. What it means is to say, we need Eliyahu Navi to tell us if the smell from the fish has already been taken away or not. In other words, fish have a certain smell. Now, we are not sensitive enough to know if this is something that's a smell and therefore not kosher to write tefillin on it or not. And therefore, we need Eliyahu Navi to tell us, who wasn't tainted by this world, to tell us exactly if it's something that would be proper for tefillin or not, but nothing to do with the fact of its ur. Yes, the hide of a fish is considered ur, it's distinct from the flesh. However, that doesn't mean it's still going to be kosher to write tefillin. So the Gemara brings a story that will have these halachas brought into it. Shmuel v'karna havayasvi agudud in the har Malka. Shmuel and Karna too, Tamil Chacham, they were sitting on the bank of the river Malka, of the royal river. Chazinu l'mayir de kodoli v'achir. They saw the water over there in the river that was rising and that it was turbulent. And that is, the turbulence of the water gave them to thinking that it was like an idea of tsar, of pain. that because of the pain of this individual that was coming, that as the Gemara is going to explain, that he was also obviously very turbulent. So therefore, that was the symbolism of the turbulence of the water, which was almost being empathic, part of the tsar that the Talmid Chacham that was on the ship was having. And because there was no winds that were in the air, and they saw that the waters were still like large waves, so they understood that this wasn't just a natural phenomenon, that it's waves. A lot of times it's stormy, but there was no waves, and there was no winds blowing, and still there was large waves. So obviously they understood that it was for the honor of a Adam Chashav, of a Adam Gadol. As the Gemara says, Amalei Shmuel Karana, Shmuel said to Karana, Gavra Rabba Kasim Imarabba. There's obviously a great man coming from Eretz Yisrael, V'chayish B'meha, and that he has an ailment in his stomach. And why is the river having these great large waves? It's going to go ahead and greet the person that's coming on the ship. And what it really was saying was, it was to make a wall around him. That is because he had a stomach ache. He had a stomach ailment. He had to relieve himself by the on the top of the ship. And since it wasn't bakavadik for him, that it should be honorable, that his private parts should be revealed. So the waves were making like a wall around him to cover him. Or another Pshat Rashi brings, it was to wipe him. The water was there to clean him up. Either way, he understood that the water here was some type of symbolism, as for some great person, that it was a greatness happening to for his dignity to remain intact. So he said, so since this great person is coming, ziltoi leyakankani, go ahead and sniff him, sniff his keg, which is a metaphor to say that go smell the keg, if it's wine or if it's vinegar, to say go check if he's a great person or not, if he's really such a chacham. So also ashkechil Rav, he went and he found who was this coming from Eretz. So it was Rav, the great Talmudic stage Rav. So Amalei Sekarna said to Rav, he was checking to see if he's really a Talmud Chacham. From where do you know that you're not allowed to write tefillin only on the hide of a kosher animal? Where do you know that? Maybe it could be even non-kosher. So it says in the pasuk, so that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. That's the pasuk which is in reference to tefillin. That it says, what it's coming to tell you, from that which is permitted to go in your mouth, which is only kosher animal, that hide you could bring from a non-kosher animal. So he asked him another question. Minayin ledam shu adam. How do you know that blood is red? And what that means is, it's a reference to dam nida, where regarding the menstrual blood, it says in the pasuk dam. And we have a Mishnah in nida that says that there's five types of bloods that are metame, that are ritually impure by a woman. And all of them are because they're a reddish color, a hue of red. And even though one of them is black, it says over there in the Gemara that black is really red, but just that it turns. And when it turns from red, it becomes this blackish color. But really, they're all because they're red. So how do you know that the dam need is only if it's red? Shenem, like it says in the Pasuk, he answered him in Melachim Beis, the Yiru Mayav Mineged. That Mayav saw from afar, that Esamayim Adum Kadam, that the water was red like blood. So therefore you see that reddish color is like blood, and therefore blood, when it says the Pasuk Tam, it means Adam, it means a color of red. So then he asked him another question. How do you know that circumcision is in that place? Where does it say in the Torah that it should be on the male member? So he answered him, Nemer Kan Arlas. It says over here by the mitzvah of Milo, that Arlas, his blockage, it says over there regarding the mitzvah of Arla, of Netar Avai, when you plant a tree, that the first 3 years are Arlasai, its blockage, that you can't eat the fruits, and only the fourth year, Netar Avai, can you go ahead and eat in Yerushalayim. So the exact words are Arlasai, we say Malahal and Davish Aisapri, just like over there, regarding the Netar Avai, the Arla, that it's an item, the tree that makes fruits. Here also, when it's saying to make circumcision, it's on the area which produces fruit, which is the aver of the man. But Karna responded to him and says, "Wait, how do you know that arla means in learning off from netar avai that it's something that produces fruit? Emel liboy. Maybe it's not that makam, the private parts. Maybe it's his heart." The Chassidim says in the pasuk, "Umal temes arles lavavchem," that he will cut away the arla, the blockage of your hearts. So maybe you see that the heart has blockage. Maybe it means some type of an intellectual blockage that you have to undo. Or Ema Oznai, maybe it means his ear. There's something like it says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Hina Arela Oznam, that their ears are blocked. So he says no. Although you're right, these Pesukim also have the word Arla. However, Dun Arlasai Tama, Mi Arlasai Tama, that we're going to learn a complete word of Arlasai, which has the exact letters Arlasai, from one that says Arlasai. We're not going to learn arlasai from a place where it has arlas, which is not complete, that it doesn't tell you an arla of what. Here it says arlasai, its arla, his arla. There, when it says in those psukim, it says arlas. It doesn't say in the word itself an arla of what it is. It has to tell you then later an adjective to say, an adverb to say whatever it's going to be of. However, here where it's says in the word itself, arlasai, that's the one we're going to learn out from. And therefore we know from there it's something that produces fruit. Here also it's something that produces fruit. So the Gemara says that after this discussion of Karna asking Rav all these questions, so Amalei Maishmach, so he's asked Karna, what is your name? You know, he's questioning him over here, he's testing him. So he says, Karna. So Amalei he Rava de Tebikle Karna Be'en. He says, let it be the will of Hashem that a horn should come out of his eye. And that it was a curse because he realized that it was testing him and possibly even had to go to the bathroom because of his stomach ailment when he was holding him up. So he cursed him because of the tzar that he was in. L'soif Eile Shmuel Lebeis. Ultimately, Shmuel brought Rav into his house. And what did he do for him? And Shmuel was a very big doctor. Ochle Nahama Desari V'kasa D'harsna. He gave him barley bread and fish hash to eat. V'ashkechech, and he gave him beer to drink. And all these different food items were there to loosen up his stomach. As we said, because Shmuel was a doctor and he was doing these things to make him go to the bathroom. But more than that, he didn't show him where the bathroom was. And he wanted it to stay in his stomach, to turn around and to be churning and to make it all liquidy, so that he should be diuretic, it should all come out. So like Rav, so Rav cursed him because he was in the place of Tsar, and he said, whoever is tormenting me should not have any son surviving. And that's the way it was. Shmuel did not have any son surviving him. Shmuel had daughters. But that's the idea, the curse of a Talmid Chacham comes true. So now the Gemara goes, and we regarding the source of the place of where the circumcision is made, the Gemara says that Ketanoi, there really is a machlokes tanoim. How do we know that the makam amila is by the male member? It says minayin lemila shaba isa makam. How do you know that the circumcision is in that place? So because nemakan orlas. So nemakan halan orlas, as we said, malahalan, just like over there by the fruits of arla is davish isa pri. It's a tree that makes produce. It's in that where it is which makes fruits. Avkan davish isa pri hero. So it's a reference to something that makes fruits, which is the male member. Divrei Biyosha. Rav Nosna me'enetzach. Rav Nosna says, you don't need to have this come onto this gzeir shava. Harei Yoim, it says in the Pasuk, V'oral zachar asher le'yimo esbesar alas. It says that a male that's uncircumcised, that will not circumcise the flesh of his arla. So from the Pasuk itself, you understand that makam shenikar bin zachas l'nakvas is the extra word zachar. What are you saying that the blockage of the male, which is that the blockage is in a place where it's recognizable that this is a male and not a female. What is that? That's the male member. That's the one difference on the male that's different than the female, and that is exactly where you have to do the mila. So those are the two sources. How do we know that mila is in the isamakim in the male member? So now the Gemara goes back and to discuss regarding the hides of riding tefillin on. So Torah Rabbanan, we learn the brisa. Kaisvin tefillin al gabi or behemitar. You're allowed to write tefillin on the hide of a kosher animal. And similarly, by gabi or chayitar, you're allowed to write on the hides of a kosher wild animal. Val gabi or nevela tzevishal. And even, you could even write on the hides of a nevela trefa. Nevela is an animal that wasn't slaughtered properly. And a trefa is one that, even if it was shechted properly, but had a fatal injury, that both these are not allowed to be eaten. However, their hides, since they're from a kosher animal, from a kosher species, you're allowed to use it to write tefillin on. And moreover, v'nichruches, and that these the parshias that have to be wrapped, besarin has to be in the here of these kosher animals. And then after that, then you go ahead and you put into the box, the tefillin boxes that they are. V'nitfaris begidon, they have to be sewn with the sinews of these animals, not from non-kosher animals. And Agav, the Braisa says, that v'halocha l'mesh besina, these are halocha l'mesh besina, that which, sh'atfilin nechruches besarin, v'nitfaris begidon, that they have to be wrapped together in the hair of these kosher animals, and then after the parashas are wrapped with those hairs, then they're put into the boxes, and that they have to be sewn with the sinews of the kosher animals. Then the brisa continues, however, but you're not allowed to write in the hide of a non-kosher animal. You're not allowed to write in the hide of a non-kosher wild animal. And you don't for sure don't have to say that you can't write in the hides of a nevela and a trefa of the non-kosher animals. And also, you can't wrap the parashas with the hairs of these non-kosher animals. And you can't sew it with the sinews of these non-kosher animals. It has to be, as we mentioned before, from the kosher animals. So the Gemara says, "V'zu she'ei l'shol beisusi echad es ribshu hagars." And this was a question that one of the beisusim, these are the sects from the Jewish people that didn't believe in Teresh Bal Peh, they only followed Teresh B'Ksav, and they used to bother the Talmid Chacham a lot of times with these questions. So he says, "Minayin she'ein kosein tefillin al gabe al or behemet tameh." How do you know that you can't write tefillin on the hide of a non-kosher animal? So they said, because it says in the pasuk, "Matiya Teres Hashem beficha," because that the Torah of Hashem, which is a reference to the parasha of the tefillin, have to be in your mouth. What does that mean in your mouth? Midavar hamutu beficha has to be from something which is permitted to come into your mouth, which means something kosher. But then he asked, "Il mi'ata al gabi or nevel se trefer zal yichtavu?" Saying what you shouldn't be able to write on the hides of nevela and trefer, which although they're from kosher animals, but that can't go in your mouth. You're not allowed to eat a nevela, or an animal that was not slaughtered properly, or that had a terminal defect. So how are you allowed to go ahead and write on those hides? It's not minamut beficha. So Amalei emshelucham l'mocha moshel l'madav adayim. So Rishu Agarsi said, "Let me give you a moshel of what this can be compared to." There were two people that were sentenced to death for doing something wrong against the government. One of them, the king, killed him, and one of them, the chief executioner, killed him. That's the terminology in Greek, is espaklita. So you say, ask them, which one is better off? So, it's the one that the king killed him because of the king. You know, if it's some just low chief execution, that's degrading. But as long as it's the king, that's better off. And therefore, these animals, the nevelas and the trefas, how were they killed? They were killed from God. That's a nevela. It wasn't through slaughtering, or a trefa for sure would have had a fatal injury. That's from Hashem killed him. And therefore, if a regular animal that we kill, who we're the chief executioners, and we can use those hides, definitely the ones that Hashem himself, the Melech himself killed, that we could use their hides to ride on, as long as from a kosher animal. But then the Baisusi asked him back again, "El mi'atu yechus," and you should be able to eat it. You're saying it's better than the one you do shechita on, so if you could eat the shechita one, for sure, then the nevela trefa. So Malay says, "No, you're right. There the king killed him, and that's why you could use the hides to write tefillin on. But a Torah man, for that reason, the Torah says, lo yiseichlu kol nevela v'atram yoichlu." The Torah says you're not allowed to eat a nevela, and you're going to say to go ahead and eat it. That's why the Torah goes as ases nevela. So Amalei Kalasi says, what you said makes a lot of sense, and he agreed to him that, yeah, you're allowed to write tefillin on nevela trefa, because it's from a kosher animal, and if the melech is killing him, that's definitely better than when we do it. However, regarding eating, afal pike, and the Torah says, lo yiseichlu kol nevela, you're not allowed to eat it, in spite of the fact that Hashem killed it. So now we continue with the next Mishnah, which follows with the theme of the regarding the oiris, the hides of animals, and the malacha of processing the hides is the malacha of ma'abed of tanning. Now our Mishnah talks about a toilada, derivative of the malacha of ma'abed of tanning. So the Mishnah begins, "Ein oisin hilmi b'shabbos." You're not allowed to make brine on Shabbos. We continue on to Amid Beis. "Aval oisuhu es me'amelch." But he's allowed to make salt water, which the Gemara doesn't explain. Brine is salt water. So what does it mean? You cannot make brine, but you're allowed to make salt water. However, you're allowed to make salt water. Retayev ben pita, and you can dip your bread into it. Ben nisim teichatavsh, and you can put it into a cooked dish. However, Omer b'yaisi, he argues. He says, what do you mean? V'halayhu hilmi beim ruba beim mu'ud. Brine is brine, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little. In other words, if you're saying a lot, which you're calling brine, is aser, so then even a little bit is also going to be aser. And if you're saying that the main mouth, the salt water, is mutter because it's a little, so then even the other ones, that's a lot, should be mutter. And the Gemara is going to explain that Rabbi Yossi is coming to be machmer, and he's saying that they're all aser, because it's similar to the malacha of ma'abed of tanning, because you're fixing the food item that you're putting inside of it, that it should last. That's what you do when you pickle. Pickling is a teilada of ma'abed of tanning, because just like tanning keeps it and maintains it through that process of tanning, so too, pickling is what keeps it and maintains it, so therefore the salt water, he says, is always aser, is always a problem. Whether it's a lot or a little bit, you're still doing a derivative of ma'abed by pickling it. However, therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, so therefore, ve'elohin mei melech ha'matur. So therefore, what is the type of salt water that is permitted? I said it's a problem, even a lot or a little. He says, the only way you can make salt water is, neisin shemen l'katchilo l'teich ha'mayim or l'teich ha'melech. If you put in the oil first, when you have the water in, or when you put in the oil first, when you have the salt in. And that is, if you put the oil into the water first, before you put in the salt, or you put the oil into the salt before you put in the water, that is, there's two ingredients to make salt water. You have salt and water. Now, if you put in one of the ingredients, either the water or the salt, before you put in the other one, you have to put in the oil, because then the oil prevents the salt from mixing well with the water, and it diminishes the koyach, the strength, from allowing the salt water to be strong. And therefore, you're not going to really have real strong salt water, which will be creating the pickling effect. However, you're not going to put in the water and the salt first, even if you're going to put in the oil right after it, because at the time when you put in the water and the salt together, that looks like ma'abit, that looks like tanning, which is you have the pickling effect when you have the salt and water. And even though you're putting in the oil 10 seconds later, it's still a problem for those 10 seconds. However, so Rabbi Yossi says, the only way you could have salt water is if you put an oil between the two ingredients. And then it won't be so strong, and that won't be a problem, a pickling of being a telada of ma'abit. So the Gemara goes back to the opinion of the Tanna Kamma and asks, my Kamma, what was the Tanna Kamma saying? What is Hilmi, what's brine, and what's Meimelech, what's salt water? Chareh, they're the same thing. They're salt with water. So Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel HaChakam, this is what the Tanna Kamma was saying. Ein oisin Meimelech merubin. You're right, you can't make a large quantity of salt water, that's what we're calling brine. Aval oisin Meimelech merubin, but you're allowed to make a small amount of salt water. And that's exactly his opinion. Not like Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that says, Amar Biyasi, Valaihu Hilmi, Bein Merubin, Bein Merubin. What do you mean? It's salt water, whether it's a lot or it's a little. So the Gemara says, Ibailu, the following question. Rabbi Yossi le'aser or le'hater? Was Rabbi Yossi coming to be more stringent to aser and to say this that you say, that they're both the same? He says, what do you mean? A lot or a little, doesn't make a difference. Was he trying to say that, yes, they're the same and therefore they're both aser? Or he was trying to say that, no, they're both the same and therefore they're both mutter? So the Gemara says, Amar Bihuda, Lahatar, obviously he was coming to be lenient and to say that they're both mutter. And the reason is, from the fact that Rabbi Yossi didn't just say that it's Asr, because if he would have said Asr, that would have been going back on the last case that he said, that the Tanna Kamma said, but you're allowed to make salt water. And on that, Rabbi Yossi says, no, Asr, you're not allowed to make salt water, which would say that not only a lot, but even a little bit. And he doesn't say that. So obviously, when he's saying that there's no difference, is that because he's coming to be Mekel, and that to say that it's Mutter. Because again, if he was saying that they're both Aser, he should have just said Aser, which would have been going back on the case of even the small amount. So Amalei Rabbi said to Rabbi Yehuda, but Hamadiktani Sefer, from the fact that at the Sefer, when Rabbi Yossi says the last part of a statement, he says, Ve'elohein mei melech matran, and what is the permitted salt water? Mechad Rabbi Yossi lesser. Obviously, Rabbi Yossi, in his previous statement, was saying that they're both Aser. Right? Because what is the permitted one? Only in this way, when you put the oil in between. Obviously, he holds that even if it's a lot or a little, they're both going to be aser, not mutter. And Eloma Rabba lesser, rather, obviously, the fact is that it's coming to be aser. V'chinam Rabbi Yechanan lesser, and same thing Rabbi Yechanan also says, that Rabbi Yosef is coming to be more machman, say that they're both aser. Tanim Hoch, and similarly, in the Bryce like this. In oisin mi melach merubin, losis latech ha-kavashin shabatech gistra. The Tanakam of this Brisa says, you're not allowed to make a lot of salt water to put the vegetables that are being pickled, that you want to let them stay for a long time, to put into this broken piece of pottery, which is not fit for anything because it's not whole, but they used to designate it for this purpose. So you're not allowed to put in a lot of salt water to put in these vegetables. But you're allowed to make a small amount of salt water, and you could eat it with your bread with that salt water, but you could put it into a cooked dish. So the Tanna Kamma was machalik between, as our Mishnah, between a lot of salt water or a little. But Rabbi Yossi says, what do you mean? Because this is a lot of salt water, and this is a small amount of salt water. So this one's prohibited, and this one's mutter. What do you mean? What is the difference between a lot or a little? What are they going to say if you do a large work? You know, if you plow like a whole field, yeah, that's a problem. But if you plow a half a field or a quarter field, that's not such a problem. What do you mean? It's a malacha, it's a malacha. Who cares if it's a lot of salt water or a small amount of salt water? Ella, elu ba'elu asurin hin. This is where the Brisa says explicitly. The Rebbe says, no, it's rather both of them are us, they're both a problem. What is the case of salt water that would be permitted? That's only if noisin shemen umelech, that if you put in the oil and the salt, or the oil and the water, that is, you have one of these ingredients with the oil, and as long as you don't first put in the water and the salt, and before the oil, then as long as you have the oil in there somewhere between the two ingredients, that's the only way it's going to be permitted. And therefore we have a braisa that explicitly says, Rabbi Yossi, when he says they're both the same, whether that they're both the same for aser, it's a malacha, whether it's a lot or a little, not like the Tanna Kamma who says that's only aser a lot and it's mutter a little. So the Gemara brings, azin strong, tznoin or radish, the esrog and the esrog. Simon, this is a mnemonic to have for the following statements from that are old three statements said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva. So the Gemara brings Tanner Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviv. His first statement is, Ein oisin mei melech asin. You're not allowed to make strong salt water. And as we said, it's a problem of ma'abed, of tanning, and the telada, of pickling. So the Gemara says, Mai mei melech asin. What is strong salt water? So Rabbi Yisa bar Abba, Dami Tavai, both of them say, how do you know what's considered strong salt? What do I mean? You're never allowed to have a little salt in your liquid that you're having? Of course. But when you have a lot, that's like pickling. And how much is that? Kol shabei etzav ben. Whatever would make that the egg that would be put in it would float because of the strength of the salt prevents it from sinking down to the bottom, that's a lot of salt. The common, how much is that? Amabaya, trei tilsi milcha v'tilsi maya. That's when you have 2/3 of the mixture being salt and 1/3 of it water. That's considered the amount of salt that would have the egg float. That would be a problem of making strong salt water. L'maya avdilo, why do people make this type of a mixture of salt water that's so much salt and only 1/3 of it water? Remember, l'mariyasa, people make it for fish brine, and that's what it's meant for, and that type of thing, which it's a pickling type of a type of liquid, that's a problem to make on Shabbos. The second statement that he says, Tan Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva, ein molchen tznayinu beitza b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to salt a radish or an egg on Shabbos. That is, if you take 3 or 4 pieces together and you salt them, so that's like tanning it because they become hard, and that's a tikkun of it. It's making it that it stays longer. That's just like ma'abed, and that's a tikkun, and that's also to do on Shabbos. Rav Chizkiya mishmid abayama, tznayin aser ubeitz mutez. No, a radish is aser, and that's why people have to be careful. People eat reitach, they eat radish on Shabbos. You have to know there are certain halachas related to this, to the malacha of ma'abed. So radishes are aser, but an egg is permitted because that doesn't really help that much to pickle an egg that'll be fixing it. That'll be doing somewhat of a tikkun like ma'abed. So Amrav Nachman, comments on this halacha. Says Mireish haMalachna. Originally, I used to salt on Shabbos pugla or radish. Amina avsudikum avsidnole. I said that I'm not doing any tikkun. Faked. To the contrary, I'm spoiling the radish by salting it. The Amashmul Kashmul said, Pugli Khurfi Ma'ali, a sharp radish is good, and when you salt it, it takes away a little of the sharp edge. So therefore I thought for sure I'm not a salt on Shabbos. I'm not doing any tikkun, I'm not rectifying it. If anything, I'm making it worse. But Kivin the Shaman Laha de Khiyasa Ulavama, but when I heard this statement that when Ula came, he said the following statement, that Bimayrava Malchi Kishri Kishri, that in Eretz Yisrael, they sold piles and piles, piled up of radishes. So Mimluch Le Malachna. So therefore, I don't salt my radish on Shabbos when I have 2 of them together at one time, because that's like these piles, that's like the tikkun that they do. But tavuli vaz matvila, but I definitely dip my radish in when I'm coming to eat. When I dip in one at a time, that's for sure not a problem. That doesn't look like ma'abe, like I'm tanning, like I'm keeping for a long time. That's the act of eating one at a time is okay. When you do 2 or 3 or 4, that looks like a problem. That looks like you're doing it to maintain it for a long time, as the act of pickling is, as the act of ma'abe of tanning is. Now the third statement, Tana Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva, Estrig tznayin ubeitza, an estrig, a radish, an egg, il molik klipas nachatzayin, if not for their outer shell, for their outer husk, and regarding an egg, that's a reference to the chelbun, which is the white part of the egg, if not for those parts of these food items, einin yotzim nimayim loyim, it would never leave the intestines of a person, because they get hard and they bind together and they block the orifices from coming out. Therefore, if not for these shells, the outer part of them that allows it to digest and to come out, it would never leave the stomach. So the Gemara now brings, which the Rach tells us the following statement is because it was talking about the egg not sinking to the bottom of the salt water. So once we spoke about that, so now we mentioned that the same nature applies to the Sea of Sidim, that anything that's very salty, it makes things float on the top of it. As the Gemara says, Ki Asra Avdimi Omar, he says, Me'oilam le'tava gavah b'yam adistayim. There was never an incident where a person sank in the Sea of Sidim. And that's because since the water is very salty, so the strength of the salt prevents a person from sinking, as it is b'yam ha-melech, that you go there, you can't sink to the bottom. So Rav Yosef, commented on this statement, Hafucha stayim v'hafucha mila. Stayim was turned upside down, and this statement is upside down. And that is, what you're saying is upside down. Because, what do you mean? Gavuhu deleitava, kashuritava, what? A person never sank in Yama Melech, in the Sea of Sidaim, but a plank did sink? What do you mean? Why just a person? Nothing ever sank over there. So I'm like, Abai says, no, loy meboya come out. He was telling you it's not necessary to say. In other words, loy meboya kashura, definitely not necessary to say that a plank never sank over there. Definitely b'chol mei mishaba oilm leitava, because a plank never sinks in any sea. Even a person which could sink and drown in the waters of the world. However, that's what we're coming to tell you, that chiddush, that in the Sea of Sidaim, in Yam HaMelech, a person never sank. Now the Gemara asks, what is the difference for us to know this concept? So the Gemara says, that Ravin Habashokov Ozla Khurid Rabbi Yirmiya Agudid the Yamadistam, that he was following Rabbi Yirmiya by the banks of the river of Stone. Amalei, so he said to him, Maula Mimshi Mahani Mai Bishab, what is the halacha with washing your hands from these waters on Shabbos? And what was the question? The question was regarding the halachas of refuah. The Chacham made a gzerah, a decree, that all refuahs on Shabbos are awesome, because you might come in those days when they used to need medicinal herbs and grind it, and that's a problem. You might come to do a teichin on Shabbos. So therefore they said, you know, I'll take any refuah, any medication on Shabbos. So the problem is that these waters of the Sedaim, it's a healing ointment for the eyes on Shabbos. So therefore you want to know, can you wash your hand, could you wash with them on Shabbos? Is it a problem that it looks like of refuah? So Amalei Shabbat to me says, no, it's not a problem. You can go ahead and wash with these waters on Shabbos, because it's not obvious that it's being done for refuah, for healing purposes. Now, although they're healing, it's permitted, because the whole reason that refuah is Isser doesn't apply over here, because it's only because of a gzera that you might come to grind herbs. And here, there is no grinding going on. The whole idea was you might come to grind, which is an amalacha, and here where, A, it's no problem of herbs because you're not grinding anything, and also there's no maris ayin because it's not obvious that you're doing it for refuah, because people do it, you're doing it just to wash. So therefore it's okay, you could wash with it in spite of the fact that it has healing properties. But then he asked him, ma'u l'mei mitzvah l'miftach, what's halacha with the closing and opening his eyes? That is, he closes his eyes when he washes his face with it on Shabbos. But then he opens up his eyes so that it should like go in, like you close and open so that it'll pull it into your eye socket. Can you do that also on Shabbos? So Amalei Zulay Shabbat says, this I never heard. I didn't hear clearly. I know I heard that you're allowed to wash your face with it on Shabbos, but I didn't hear if you could actually close and open your eyes to make it come into the eyes. But Kayetze Bishmati, something very similar I did hear, that where it's obvious that what you're doing, that it's for refuah, for healing, that is asr. And here when you're closing and opening up your eyes, that's making it obvious why you're doing it, that you're doing it so it should get into your eyes to heal the ailment that you have in your eyes. And this statement that Rav Dimi had said, that a person never drowned in the waters of Sedaim, we're learning out from that since they were very salty, so therefore they have healing properties, as many people go to Yam HaMelech because of the salt compounds that are there. That is why we're saying that you now go ahead and close and open your eyes from those waters on Shabbos. Again, because it has those healing properties, and that's why no one sinks, because of the salts that are in there. That's why you now go ahead and open and close your eyes on Shabbos. So he says, I heard something very similar to this, that when it's obvious, it is a problem. As Reb Zera said, Zimin Omale Mishmeder Rav Masna, sometimes Reb Zera would say it over in the name of Rav Masna, Zimin Omale Mishmeder Rav Ma'arukva, and sometimes he said over in the name of Ma'arukva. That is because he heard this tradition, this Messiah from both of them. V'tavayu, and both Rav Masna and Ma'arukva, Mishmeder Avu de Shmuel v'Levi Amar, and they said over in the name of the father of Shmuel and Levi. That is, they said over two different statements. One was in the name of the father of Shmuel, and one statement was in the name of Levi. And that is Chad Amar, one of them said, either the father of Shmuel or Levi, that yayin b'toicha ayin asa, putting wine inside one's eye is asa. That is, if you're opening and closing your eyes to bring it in, that's obvious why you're doing it, why you're washing your eye with wine. And therefore, to bring it into your eye, that's prohibited because of the isra of refuah on Shabbos. Al gava ayin mutter, but on top of one's eye, that's mutter, because people are going to say you're just using it to wash yourself and not for healing, because you're not doing it to get inside your eye, you're just washing your face. V'chadam, and one or the other one, either again, the father of Shmuel or Levi, depending which one says which statement, the other one said, Roig Tafel, regarding raw saliva, that is that someone that has saliva that he didn't eat anything that whole day from when he woke up in the morning, to use that type of saliva, afil al gava ayin asa, even on top of one's eyes asa, even if you're not like pulling it in by opening and closing your eyes, because that's also obviously doing it for refuah. Because if you're doing it to wash, that's disgusting saliva. And that's why we use raw saliva, because raw saliva is very strong and it has healing properties. That's why we said that if you're doing that, even on top of your eye, that's going to be a problem, because that's obvious for refuah, and therefore it's awesome. So the Gemara comments that Tistayim Davud Shmuel Huda Amar Yayim Betoich Ayin Asa. Let's prove, because we didn't say who said which statement, that it was the father of Shmuel that said that putting the wine in the eye is the Asa. But Al Gava Ayin Mutter, but on the eye was Mutter. How do we know that it was him that said that statement? Mida Amar Shmuel, from the fact that his son Shmuel said, Shayru Adnam Pita Bayan, that person could soak his bread in wine. But Noisna Gava Ayin Shabbos, he could put it as a compress on top of his eye on Shabbos. The Shmilei Man, who do you hear this statement from that you could put wine on your eye on Shabbos? Lav the Shmilei Mavui, isn't it obvious that he heard it from his father that said you're allowed to put wine on your eye on Shabbos, as long as you're not making it obvious that by trying to pull it into your eye by opening and closing? And that the Gemara responds, but Tamech, according to your reasoning, that where does Shmuel get it from? But Hadam, Shmuel, this is Shmuel said that Roig Tafel Afil Agabayin Aser, that raw saliva, even on top of one's eye, is Aser. The Shmuel Miman, where did he hear that statement from? Elim the Shmuel Mavua, if you're going to say that, well, he obviously heard it from his father. So El Levi Vilei Chadam, so Levi didn't say any statements then? What do you mean? You're saying that both statements that Shmuel is saying, and where did he get it from? Obviously from his father, but one was said in the name of Levi, one was said in the name of the father of Shmuel. So then the Gemara says, you're right, El Chadish Shmuel Mavua, V'Chadish Shmuel Levi. So obviously one statement, yeah, he heard from his father, but one he heard from Levi, Vilei Din Haim Mavua Haim Levi, and therefore we can't prove either way. We don't know which statement was from his father and which one was from Levi. Now the Gemara continues on the halacha of refuah, of healing properties on Shabbos. Amar Ukva Mishmo. Shoyva Adam, a person could soak in water. Kilurin Me'erv Shabbos. Kilurin was this type of a liquid that was a healing type of a liquid. He could soak it from Erev Shabbos. V'nois Nagav Ein Erev Shabbos. And he could put on top of his eye on Shabbos. V'ein HaChayshin, he doesn't have to be concerned. There is no problem. And the reason is, for him himself, since they required him to soak it from Erev Shabbos, so it's obvious to him that this is something that you can't do on Shabbos, you can't grind herbs, and therefore there's no reason to be geyser to say that they might do it on Shabbos, which would possibly be Isser, because he knows he has to do it before Shabbos. And even for other people that don't know, that are watching him, they think he's just washing himself, because they think what he's putting on is not kilur, and they think it's wine. And wine, again, we allow to wash on top of the eye. So therefore there's no problem, not for himself, and not for other people seeing and looking and thinking that he's doing refuah on Shabbos. As the Gemara brings this story, Bar Levi have a koi kamei de marukva. Bar Levi was in front of marukva. Chazid have a mayit to pasach. So he saw that he was opening and closing his eye. So Amalei, so he said to him, no. Kuli hai vadi le shor mashmol. That much definitely Shmuel did not permit. And that is because although we said you're allowed to take kilurin and put on top of your eye on Shabbos, that's on top. But to open and close your eye, that's again, that's the same element. And we said that's making it obvious that what are you doing it for? You're doing it for healing properties, because when you're trying to open and close, you're trying to pull it in, that's for the refuah, and that's also to do on Shabbos. Another story related to this thing Mar brings, Sholech le'Rabbiani l'mar ukva. Rabbiani sent to Mar ukva, Lishterlon mar mehanach kilurin de mar Shmuel. Send us this kilurin, this type of healing type of a liquid, that from Shmuel, as we said before in the Gemara, that Shmuel was a big doctor, and Marukva was always around in the court of Shmuel, because he was an Av Bezdin in the days of Shmuel, as the Gemara, Anaf Nun Hei says, and Moed Katan. So therefore they said, you know, be the facilitator for us, get us these kilurin from Shmuel for healing. So Shalach Leisa, he sent to him, look, Shadur Meshadur Anlach, I'm going to send you this kilurin that you're asking for. You shouldn't say that I'm stingy, that I don't want to share with you, that I want to give from the stock that we have. But I just want you to know, this is what Shmuel himself says. It says, a better drop of cold water in the morning, that is to put on your eyes, and washing one's hands and feet with warm water in the evening, which also helps for the eye. Mikol kilurin shabayim, it's better than all the kilurin in the world. So I know you want kilurin because it's there, it's a healing property for the eyes, but I just want you to know, if you really want a little cold water in the morning on the eyes and a little warm water on the hands and the feet in the evening, is better than that. Tanem hochi, similarly we learn in the Braisa, Amra Muna Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Toiva tipas noin shachris, is better a drop of cold water in the morning, brachitzi daimer glaim arvis, mikol kilurin shabal oilam, and a little bit warm water on the hands and the feet in the evening is better than all the kilurin in the world. So the Gemara concludes, Hua Ya'imah, that Ramayna used to say the following statement. Yad la'ayin, the hand to the eye, that is in the morning before one washes Natila Sidayim, tikatzis, should be chopped off. In other words, it's better for the person that his hand should be chopped off, because there's a ruach ra, an evil spirit, so to speak, that rests on the hand, and that blinds him in all these different statements, yad la, whatever the item is for the same reason that in the morning before you wash Natila Sidayim, there's this dangerous evil spirit on the hand, you shouldn't be touching any orifice. So therefore, if you touch the eye, your hand should be taken off. Similarly, yad l'chaitim dikatzah, you put your hand to your nose, it should be taken off. Yad l'peh, you put your hand to your mouth, it should be taken off. Yad l'oizim dikatzah, the hand to the ear. Again, all these different orifices, these holes in the body, are dangerous because of the evil spirit that's there. Yad l'chasud dikatzah, a hand to the hole from where blood is drawn. Again, that's another area where the spirit could get into the body. That is also, the hand should be taken off. Yad la'amatikatzis, a hand to the male member should be chopped off, which to Rashi on the following daf says that this halacha of the hand to the male member, that's not the same as because I'm not washing until it's down in the morning. Rather, because if one puts his hands over there by the male member, it brings to carry to seminal emission, as the Gemara Masechtas Nida says that the reason, that's why it says the hand should be chopped off. And because it's cursing it, that your hand should be chopped off because of making tumas keri. So that's why we use the same terminology for all these different ones, for the hands, for the eyes. And that's why we use this strong term, because that's really the strong term that applies when one does it by touching the male member, which bringing to a seminal emission is a really chomer degazach. And the same thing Rashi says regarding putting his hand by his anus, by the piat habas, is if he constantly touches over there, it's going to bring him to hemorrhoids. So that these two are different than the other ones, which are tomah netilas dam in the morning. Alternatively, the Gemara continues and says, Yale fitavas, putting the hand on one's anus, and that's the reason why it's called the opening of the ring, is because the hole, the orifice where the waste comes out, is round like a ring, and that's what's called pitavas, that's the anus. That the hand should be chopped off, which is because once you touched over there, you shouldn't be touching by the eyes or the ears before you go ahead and wash your hands after you wiped yourself over there by the anus. And Yad, and then we continue on to the top of Koftesim and Alf, Legigas, touching, now we return back to, if one touches a barrel where they put beer over there to ferment, make beer, tikkatzis, that should be chopped off similar to the other ones, because you shouldn't touch food or beverages or anything before you wash it until this time in the morning. So now the Gemara explains that why are all these things bad, of touching the hands to the eyes or to the ears or to the nose, because yad misama, the hand to the eyes before it's washed in the morning, it makes a person blind. Yad mechareshes, putting the hand to the ear makes him deaf. Yad, the hand to the mouth or to the nose, mala polypus, that causes polypus, which is a type of a bad odor coming from the nose or the mouth. And that's why all these different things will come out due to the fact that you have this evil spirit that you didn't wash until the time yet. So a person has to be careful in the morning not to touch any orifice, any nekovim on his body before he washes until the time.